If you've been able to join us in the past couple of weeks, then you know that we are in the middle of a sermon series on the topic of refocusing on our calling as people of God. And this theme has been explored by examining the eyes of our calling. So we began by looking at how our calling is incorporated within our identity in Christ, which is the first eye. But then we went on to examine that our calling from God is also innate, which is the second eye. And then, of course, the third eye is coming to understand that God's, our identity in Christ and His innate gift of His calling on our life will manifest itself instinctually, which is the third eye. Now, I want to let you know we were intentional about looking at these important aspects so that you and I would not fall into or remain in a state of insensitivity to the calling of God in our lives. And if you need to do some further examination of a biblical character who became insensitive to the calling of God on his life, then I would encourage you, my friends, to look up and study a man known as King Solomon. Now, before we move forward in our series, I think it's important to reiterate this once again. You and I are going to have to let go of who the world tells us we are. That includes what we have done, where we come from, how old we are, any other labels that might be attached to us. Because whether you and I are whether we're either a new believer or a seasoned veteran of the faith, all of us have a fluid calling from God on our lives. Each of us has been given kingdom assignments to fulfill throughout our life. And I want to let you know that when you embrace those callings, when you embrace those assignments, I should say, it will fill that hole within your soul, that gnawing from within. But I will warn you, brothers and sisters, if you're looking for peace in life and you cannot find it, well, it can't be found outside of fulfilling God's calling on your life. I will go as far as to say, no one will ever know the experience of peace and satisfaction unless an individual finally embraces or re-embraces the calling of God on their life. Now, as we continue this theme, we will transition the subtopics of our series by scrutinizing an existing model of ministry that many churches still embrace today. This model may sound very familiar to most of you. I know it does for me, for I grew up with this model being practiced within the church. The model of behave, believe, and belong. I was told as a young man when I first began going to church and seeking to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that I must first change the way I live, which means to repent and then act right. And then second, if I would change the way I think, meaning having faith and believing like everyone else, then third, once I repented and believed like everyone else, then that would assure me that I was saved and that I could be long as part of their fellowship. And I would venture to guess that most of you who are watching this morning have been exposed to this typical evangelical presentation of the gospel. But I ask you, is that the model that we see with Jesus and his disciples during the original Eastertide season? I mean, did Jesus ever tell anyone how much they had to change before he would accept them? Let me take it one step further, friends. Do you believe God's love is conditional or unconditional upon our behavior and our beliefs? You see, I think if you and I were to study the actions of Christ within the 50 days between Easter and Pentecost with his disciples, we would see a different model of how the people of God are to live out our calling individually and corporately. Now, I will say that this will challenge us to reverse the three B's I just mentioned of behave, believe, and belong, and replace them in a different, and place them in a different order, and with a slight word change of belong, believe, and become. In fact, this order will guide our sermon time for the remainder of the Eastertide season, as well as our accompanying scriptural references, biblical models, and life applications. So let us begin this morning by examining our first B, by looking at how Jesus practiced this model of belonging from the encounter that he had with a man known as Doubting Thomas. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, verse 20, of chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. I want to ask that you would join along with me in verse 19, where it says, "It was still the first day of the week, that evening while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, 'Peace be with you.' And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. And Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven.' Now Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he replied, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in the wounds left by the nails and put my hand into his side, I won't believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house and Thomas was with them. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, 'Peace be with you.' And then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe.' Thomas responded to Jesus saying, 'My Lord, my God.' And Jesus replied, 'Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe.'" It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to end each scriptural reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and all respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Oh Lord, as we come today and we look at your word, it's a very common story for many of us. We ask today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate your word and give us a fresh anointing of the ministry of Christ, a fresh anointing of how we may see the example of Jesus and make it a practice within living out your calling on our lives. So quieten the voices and the white noise from within so that we can hear clearly what it is that you want us to receive from this time of worship and from this message, so that all of us may grow in the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You know, friends, traditionally, at least in my experience, this passage of Scripture is usually preached through the lens of Thomas. But have you ever looked at it through the lens of the ministry of Christ? You see, if we accept the first aspect of belonging, we see that Christ allowed Thomas to belong authentically and transparently. As much study as I've done for this sermon preparation, as much study as I have done throughout my years of trying to live a Christian life, I have never read anywhere from any resource that Christ nor the disciples ever admonished Thomas for his disbelief. Rather, his relationship with Jesus and his friends was accepted and never challenged because of his disbelief. In fact, I would offer that Thomas belonged long before he believed fully, or what many would say correctly. Because his fullest expression of belief did not come until after Jesus' death and resurrection. Let me say that one more time. I would offer this morning that Thomas, doubting Thomas, belonged in the presence, belonged to God, belonged to Jesus, belonged to his community of disciples. Long before he believed fully, or what many would claim correctly. Because his fullest expression of belief did not come, at least from the scriptures I just read, tells me it did not come until after Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, I think it's relevant to point out, brothers and sisters, that Jesus entered into relationships with others on this very same principle. He allowed and gave people something to belong to, regardless of where they were, spiritually, morally, socially, whatever. He befriended tax collectors, prostitutes, and others. And once they felt a sense that they could belong, Jesus then invited them to follow him, to believe. But wait a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So let me say this. When you and I allow the reverse model of believe, belong, believe, and become to be our guiding rule for living out God's calling on our lives, we allow the gospel to engender hope. You see, the Holy Spirit begins to nurture the hope of Christ within individuals when you and I represent the unconditional love of Christ to them. I mean, whether you believe it or not, Christ accepted you for who you were when you first come to that knowledge of saving grace. And listen, I'm not implying today that we are to emphatically accept a person's lifestyle as something good for them. Rather, I am saying that if we concentrate as strongly on loving them as we do on forming opinions about them, we can model belonging in the same way that Jesus did. Because mine and your job as Christians, mine and your job of living out our calling is not to bring about behavioral modification. That is the Holy Spirit's job, to convict and conform. We are to be radical in offering belonging to everyone so that the love of Jesus can bring about transformation in their lives. You know, the simplest way I know how to drive home this point is to try to summarize or compare my relationship with my wife and myself to what I believe that Jesus did in practicing the model or the ministry of belonging. So let me just share with you my point. Or let me just get to the point. Before T and I started dating, you see, our relationship was built on a sense of belonging. She didn't quiz me on where I was spiritually. She did not rebuke me for my ideologies of morality. In fact, she never really questioned my political or social stances about issues. These were originally all non-factors in our relationship. Rather, what was richly present was the ability just to connect, to be transparent, to be authentic, even vulnerable at times. There was no judgment. There was no criticism. I mean, there were differing of opinions shared, but never the demand that one had to conform to the other's way of thinking. But when we did decide to start dating, then we made a conscious decision to solidify the relationship through committed beliefs that eventually changed our behaviors as we desired to be better people for one another. So in the same way, every one of us was welcomed by Christ just as we were. No matter what you believed or did not believe, no matter what you had done or had not done, God allowed you to belong in hopes that you would allow his love to transform you into the person he intends for you to be. I mean, as people of God, I believe you and I must embrace this model of Jesus if we're going to faithfully live out our calling of God. by allowing people to belong is an attribute of God's holiness. It was and is a character trait of Jesus. And I'll go as far as to say it is the most personal work of the Holy Spirit. Because Romans 8:16 tells us that the Spirit of God witnesses to our spirit that we are His children. For those of you who follow me on social media, you know that sharing quotes from different authors is one of my favorite things to do. There's an author by the name of Evelyn Underhill who identified belonging as one of the greatest human traits, or one of the greatest longings of the human soul. As people who desire to represent the ministry and mission of Christ, we should want people of all walks of life to feel as if they belong not only to us, but to God. And we should foster a place where they can come in and have an experience where that unconditional love of God is represented to them. A place where they can be transparent in their struggles of life, of theology, of philosophy. The idea of belonging is a felt need that you and I can tap into when we are sharing the gospel with others so that they can grow and mature into the person that God originally created them to be. You know, By Faith does a lot of different praise music. I don't know their whole repertoire. I don't know half the songs they sing. But there is an artist named Matthew West that I have listened to in the past, and he has a song out right now that is titled Truth Be Told. And one of the greatest lines, in my opinion, of that song is this. There's a sign on the door that says, "Come as you are." But I doubt it. Because if we could live like it was true, every Sunday morning, every pew and every church would be filled. Friends, you and I, regardless of what God's calling us to do, we've got to begin to understand that we have to accept people for who they are as Christ accepts us for who we are. We've got to allow them to belong and to experience the unconditional love of Christ through our actions and our love and our friendship to them so that we may begin to open the door, working in partnership with the Holy Spirit to bring about the belief and the becoming that God desires. We'll look at that, those two other aspects, in the weeks to come. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.